everyone. Welcome to another episode of Weekly Advice from Everyday Experts, the podcast in which Hub Pages professionals, that is to say staff members, in this case Michelle Pedro and Simone Smith, discuss cool guides and articles written by everyday people like you, like me, like that guy sitting next to you who's giving you a funny look right now. Just because they're cool. We want to talk about these articles. And today, we're going to talk about two different articles, or hubs, on hubpages.com that happen to be about skincare. And we chose this subject because Michelle is actually herself quite interested in skincare. And I know very little about it. So we have just the perfect storm of a fun discussion waiting for us. So the first hub that we wanted to discuss is titled Four Steps to Beautiful Skin, How to Get the Best Body Skin Ever by Moonbum, who is a hubber from London, actually.
Oh.
Who's been on the site for about 3 years and has over 700 followers. And also this hub or guide or article or whatever you want to call it is one of the top skincare hubs that we have. It's one of the most popular. Yes. So apparently these four steps are quite golden.
Yeah.
And since you're the skincare expert, Michelle, what do you think? Like, if you were to make your own four steps or 3 steps or 15 steps to great skincare, would the basic steps that you saw in this article be a part of them?
Yes. Absolutely. I don't know where you want to start.
Oh, let's start with step one, body brushing, which I've never heard of before. I'm like, body brushing, what the heck? This is such a joke. I mean, you brush horses.
Yes. Well, body brushing is something that I myself do, actually. And I'm always complimented on how soft my skin is, so.
Yeah, you have radiant skin, I must say.
Thanks. Think about my skin.
My God. It's incredible. But
yeah, so I don't know, I've been obsessed with skin for like ever since I was little. And exfoliating and body brushing is something that I've always done. There's two ways that you could really do body brushing. One of them is...
Well, let's describe what it is too, because I hadn't heard of it before.
So body brushing is, you could take a soft bristled brush. They sell them at most body shop stores, beauty supply stores, and they're not a hard plastic bristled brush or even like a rough bristled brush.
So don't use your hairbrush, essentially.
Yeah, don't use your hairbrush.
Direct.
They're usually soft bristles, and you just go in a circular motion, and it exfoliates your skin, but at the same time, it improves the blood circulation of your skin, which is really healthy.
Moonbum isn't like a sandwich bun. Actually says that it could boost your immune system. I don't know if that's true, but maybe if it's really relaxing and it's a nice thing that calms you down, I'm sure it could help.
Yeah, well, I mean, especially improving circulation, I think that in and of itself, I think boosts your immune system. But yeah, getting rid of the dense skin cells. I don't have a statistic in front of me, but we shed tons of skin cells every single day,
every second. You know what's really disturbing is that when they, a long time ago, I read about an experiment in which they weighed mattresses upon their day of purchase, and then the days, you know, like 20 years later, or like 5 years later, when people disposed of them, and they weighed like 20 pounds more.
Because of the dead skin
because
cells?
Because of all the dead skin cells.
Oh my God, that makes me itch, actually.
Yeah, I'm kind of itching too, but we'll move on. Because, you know, the whole point is that with body brushing, you're gently in circular motions towards your heart, getting rid of all of that extra skin cellage, which sounds pretty nice to me.
And it makes your skin more radiant. Softer, and it's just...
I'm sure it feels pretty nice, too.
And it's just a good way to take care of your skin. So you can either use a body brush or one of those scratchy gloves that you see all over the place.
Oh, that's what those are for.
Yeah, that's what I use, actually. I don't use a body brush.
Wash the glove?
Yeah.
That's nice. I like the idea, because body brushes with their wood frames and natural fibers, I was kind of concerned maybe you wouldn't wash it as much.
No, the rough exfoliating glove is what I've been using now for a couple years, and I use it probably every other day or something like that.
That sounds pretty reasonable. So, you're saying you do it in the shower?
Yeah, I do it in the shower.
Okay.
Yeah, like every other day, I switch between my loofah, which is also kind of scratchy, and my exfoliating glove.
And what it sounds like you're doing actually is exfoliating, which is
yes.
step two. Because she points out that the difference between body brushing and exfoliating is that body brushing is done only with dry skin. Exfoliating
okay, yeah.
is done only with wet skin. And she seems to, I don't know if this is really a sequential step pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you don't bathe every day, you maybe want to body brush instead mm-hmm. of exfoliate in the shower. Because I don't think you need to do both.
I think they're kind of one and the same.
Yeah.
I mean, aside from improving your skin, your blood circulation with body brushing, body brushing also exfoliates, so.
Yeah, that's true. It seems like they're kind of the same thing. So
yeah.
Maybe she was trying to introduce this concept of doing it
yeah.
if you aren't in the shower. And honestly, I'm not exactly sure where I would work in body brushing to my everyday life
mm-hmm.
because when I'm in the shower, sure, like, I don't have clothes in the way. I have
right.
time. Like, I'm there. I'm ready to exfoliate a little bit. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, when would you sit and sort of,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, when you're cooking dinner? You don't want to, like, do something like that in your kitchen. You don't want to do something like that in your living room when you're watching
a movie. Well, I think
movie.
Probably before a shower.
Yeah, you're right. That would probably be
and
a good time.
And then get in the shower. And
yeah, in, like, a nice heated room.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
I don't know.
Some scented candles or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's, like, smells nice. And you're like, ooh, I'm being indulgent. Well, step three, which I never do. And
you don't?
I need to, is moisturizing in the bath or shower.
Oh, sorry, I didn't read that correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't do that either.
So what Moonbun points out is that many of the soaps that we use, especially me, I use Dr. Bronner's, like, super astringent peppermint-based soap,
ooh.
Are, they strip away moisture. They do not mm. moisturize.
Yeah.
So she highly recommends using what she refers to as bath creams. Her favorite brand is called Elm's Bath Milk, and she, just the way she describes it, is a Cleopatra moment waiting to happen, which is great. I want a Cleopatra moment.
I know, now I want one.
I don't know about you, but it seemed to be very smart to me because when you're in a bath or in a shower, all of your pores are open.
Yeah.
You take some soap and you dry everything out. And then, you know, by the time you've toweled off, if you're kind of cold in your apartment, your pores are going to be closed.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, they say to moisturize right after you take a bath or shower, but you might as well, like, do it when everything's kind of, you know, open
right.
and ready for moisturizing. So
yeah.
I really, really like that idea, and I'm going to look for some bath creams.
Mm-hmm.
And she points out, like, don't go for those, you know, like, soap creams or whatever. Like, it needs to have a high proportion of creaminess.
Yeah.
So
moisturizer.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, step four is, as she
moisturize,
puts it,
moisturize, moisturize.
Exactly. You cannot moisturize too much. Or maybe you can, because then you just be this really slippery
yeah.
person. But how funny would that be? No one could catch you.
Yeah, moisturizing is really important. I moisturize after the shower every single day.
Same here.
It actually bothers me if I don't moisturize after the shower.
Yeah, your skin starts to feel
it.
Really
yeah.
parched, really gross. But she points out, and this is a really great observation, is that you have to exfoliate before you moisturize, or else you're just kind of rubbing some cream over your dead skin
mm-hmm.
cells, and you're not actually getting into the skin.
Right.
Then it's also just kind of gross that, like, you would be just, like,
mm-hmm.
rubbing some goop into some goop.
Right.
Which, I don't know. I've had that feeling before, like when you're camping or something and you put sunscreen on and you're, like, dirty and you feel it just kind of rubbing
yeah.
over the previous layers of sunscreen.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, this is gross. Let me go home.
That's how I feel when I use, what is it? The hand gel?
Yeah. Oh, antibacterial hand gel. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't do that. I'd rather just
yeah.
wash my hands. And,
exactly.
You know, like
get
the practice
off.
Of washing away the germs.
Totally.
Yeah, and she mentions here using cocoa or shea butter is a good idea when
and those
moisturizing.
Smell so good.
Yeah, they smell so good, and they're very thick and rich,
mm-hmm.
And they moisturize really well. I've been using the same lotion ever since I was maybe, I don't know, 9 or 10.
What's that? Any recommendations?
St. Ives.
Oh, yeah.
You know St. Ives.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get it anywhere, and I've literally been using the same moisturizer for over 20 years.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and she makes a good point, too. You don't have to be really indulgent and pay for very expensive normal moisturizers, because you're just kind of like, I mean, you're going to go through a lot of it. And honestly, most of the perfumed ones that are out there that are like mid-level smell pretty gross. So
yeah.
I don't recommend them.
Well, any moisturizer that's too fragranty, I don't think is a good idea.
Well, most people say you should just go for unscented everything if you
because
can.
That's rich in moisturizer.
Well, and it lacks dangerous chemicals or other weird additives.
Right.
It's just simpler, better for the planet, and
exactly.
better for you. Plus, if you're wearing perfumes, which we discussed in a previous podcast, you don't want to
jive
with that weird.
Yeah,
wouldn't be good.
Should we go on to essential oils?
Yes, there's this fantastic, another very popular skincare article on Hub Pages called The Best Essential Oils for Skin Treatments. And it's written by Omparama Punya, who's one of my favorite Hubbers. She's, I think, California-based, and she writes about all sorts of things, like crafty things and food things and skincare things and yoga things. Yeah, I mean, she's just all around cool. And I thought this was also very interesting because once, when I lived in D.C., they have this beautiful, like, glassed-in botanical garden area, and I took a class there on making your own perfumes and lotions and soaps with essential oils, and I realized that there's so much more to these than I ever thought.
That's a really cool class.
It was so cool.
And it was at the botanical garden?
Yeah, it was inside. So
that's
really
cool.
Yeah, it was incredible. I was really, really pleased with that.
I would have loved to take that.
Yes, you should. You know, if you have the chance to jaunt over there. They actually do classes in that area a lot.
Look into it.
Yeah, so essential oils, which actually aren't oils because they contain no fatty acids, have plant hormones and therapeutic chemical compounds and, of course, beautiful aromas.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They're.
I thought they were oils.
No, they're not.
Interesting.
I know. So why do they call them oils? Because they want to throw us off our guard.
Well, maybe, I guess the plant hormones or something.
Beats me. Yeah. I have no idea. But she, in addition to outlining, let's see, 5 basic essential oils that are really good, she gives some very helpful tips on choosing and using them. And these were tips that I remember from the class that I took, and I'm really glad that I was taught them because things can go wrong when you use undiluted or certain essential oils. So one of her big tips is to not use neat or undiluted essential oils. So it's best to dilute them in a base or a carrier oil like almond oil or olive oil or water. Like put them in a bath. You know, like a couple drops into a bath.
Yeah.
But even some essential oils like peppermint oil, you should not put just normal into a bath either. Because the drops can just stay together, and if that goes onto your skin, like burning.
You can sting, yeah.
Oh, yeah, like really, really bad. So that's a great tip. Dilute, dilute, dilute. Also, she advises everyone to test for allergic reactions, which is another thing that we were taught very early on in the class. Just mix one drop of an essential oil with 1 teaspoon of olive oil before you buy it.
And what would that do, though?
Well, because she basically says you should mix them, put a little bit on the inside of your elbow or the inside of your wrist or the inside of your knee, and just see if there's like a rash results. Like I, for example, am allergic to lavender. Which,
I love lavender.
I know, it's not fair, but it's, like I will break out in a rash when I come into contact with it. So you want to find these things out because one tiny little vial of essential oil will cost about $30 if it's good. And Omparama Punya makes a point about that too. You should look only for really high quality essential oils because there are a lot of imitation essential oils out there. So she says look for the words vintage, organic, or GNA, which means genuine and authentic. And avoid rubber tops, she also points out, because the volatile fumes of the essential oils could break down the rubber and then it loses its potency and isn't good for use anymore. So
very
go for like plastic screw tops. Yeah. So
wow,
buying tips.
So much.
Oh, I know. Essential oils are really, really cool and they just smell so nice.
I know. I need to get some.
Yeah. Oh, we should just have like a crafting day where we make soaps and body scrubs and sugar scrubs.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness gracious, yes. So one of the essential oils that she recommends using is carrot seed essential oil, or Dacus carota, which sounds awesome. Dacus carota. It is apparently just really nourishing for the skin.
Yeah, I didn't realize carrot seed oil would be nourishing.
But. Well, and I wouldn't imagine, I've never seen that used, mm-hmm. or like it wasn't in the class that I went to, I've never smelled it before.
No.
So it sounds very interesting.
Yeah.
However, if you are an epileptic or a pregnant woman, you should not be using it.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I wonder why too. She didn't explain in her hub. However, I'm glad that she said that because, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone to get hurt. And she actually includes lots of, for each essential oil that she shares in this article, shares a recipe on how to
make it.
Yeah, like how to put it in a bath or how to make a toner with it. So yeah, go to hubpages.com and Google best essential, or search best essential oils for skin treatments and check out the article because it has some great recipes. Very simple, very natural and everything. So another essential oil that she highly recommends is German chamomile essential oil, which is very blue to the extent that she points out when put into other lotions and creams you'll see it turn a teal color. So when you see those like teal lotions and everything, you know that it probably has German chamomile essential oil. And it's very soothing and is, according to Om Paramapunya, a really good sunburn remedy, which sounds nice because...
Yeah, sometimes I need that when I burn myself so much.
Yeah, it's a...
And then my favorite essential oil...
Oh, lavender, which apparently can be used directly on the skin without diluting. So it's one of the most gentle essential oils, except if you're named Simone Smith and are allergic to it.
Not so gentle.
Not so gentle at all. But it's really nice in that it has an antiseptic property to it. And is
what
also
does that mean
good
exactly?
For... antiseptics are antimicrobial substances that are applied to living tissue skin to reduce the possibility of infection, yeah. Sepsis, or putrefaction.
I hate putrefaction.
No, it happens to me every Tuesday, putrefaction, so I have to get my antiseptic.
But apparently that's when that happens.
Yeah, you know, it just... We won't go there, will we? But yeah, so I guess it.
Well, that's good to know. I actually didn't know that about lavender. I'm drawn to lavender essential oils because of the smell.
I know, right? Because it's so relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also good for sunburn. So maybe next time that you get a sunburn, what Om recommends is dabbing oil on the burn directly, which is a little like cotton ball. Or you can put a couple of drops in a bath and just feel
and
the nice cooling sensation.
That's nice.
Yeah. So the next one is lemongrass essential oil, which is refreshing. It has a lemony aroma, which I'm a huge fan of. I love vanilla or lemon are like some of my favorite scents, maybe because they're baking scents.
I love vanilla. Lemon... oftentimes smells a little like pine salt.
Yeah, well, no, it has to be mixed with some other fragrances.
Yeah, it needs, because I like a citrus smell, but I feel like lemon, a lot of products that are lemon.
They ruined it.
Yeah.
Jerks.
Damn
but
pine salt.
I know, it's terrible what they've done, but what can you do now?
Yeah.
But what Om recommends is adding 10 drops to a bath. But... not if you have sensitive skin, so it's one of the more stringent.
Yeah.
Kind of. But hey, I mean, it helps the skin eliminate wastes and toxins. So if you can stand it, then it's probably a great option.
Yeah.
And the final essential oil that she recommends is tea tree oil, which
is great for you.
It has antibacterial and antiseptic properties. So goes against bacteria and fights putrefaction.
It also helps reduce redness in pimples.
Yes. In fact, she actually shares a recipe for a toner that you can refrigerate for up to a month that is supposed to help fight.
Ooh, I need to look it up.
Yes, it's a very easy and very cool recipe.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to try all these out, so maybe we should buy a couple of bottles of essential oil and split them and make tons of stuff. Oh, you can totally get them at Whole Foods. Oh, yeah. I mean, we're in San Francisco.
I know.
There's so many places selling essential oils.
I know. Any, like, homeopathic shop.
Yep. They're pretty popular here. And also, my mother, who teaches Pilates and has a studio in her home, always uses a tea tree oil-based mixture with water and maybe a little
to clean the mats?
Yes.
Yeah,
to clean the mats and her apparatuses. And it smells so nice. And it doesn't smell like all the other, you know, chemical disinfectants that people use. It doesn't smell like bowling shoes.
I actually heard that to use on my yoga mat.
It is so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really, really recommend it. So if you want to clean off any gym mats or something, have your own little special spray bottle. It's really nice.
It's a good idea.
Yeah. In fact, that's how I was first really introduced to essential oils is I am really interested in green this and sustainable that.
Yeah, me too.
And people always are writing articles about how to make your own cleaning agents using essential oils because most of them do have microbial, antibacterial, antiseptic properties, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go crazy and chemically.
I know. Yeah. That always...
Yeah, not pleasant. But this skincare stuff is. So we hope that you have learned something new from these two excellent articles. The first being Four Steps to Beautiful Skin, How to Get the Best Body Skin Ever by Moonbun, and Best Essential Oils for Skin Treatments by Umparema Punya. They're both excellent articles. You can find them on hubpages.com. And if you have any suggestions for future topics that we discuss in this podcast, email us at podcast@hubpages.com. We would love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.